Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4, reading together. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for so many of these psalms that we have from David. And Lord, thank you how it speaks to our heart and how it gives us assurances and help. Lord, we're thankful for the I will praise the Lord that's repeated throughout the book of Psalms. And Lord, it's our desire to have our praise on our lips today and in days to come. Lord, as you give us that opportunity to praise you. And then, Lord, we recognize as David goes through various trials and he expresses his trials and frustrations here in these texts. And then he expresses his trust and confidence in the Lord. Lord, help us to respond in our lives as we face various tests and trials with praise and thanksgiving to you. Lord, help us to turn to you. Help us to have a new song. Help us to have a new trust. And help us to have a new thanksgiving because of what we've seen in the Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It's Thanksgiving season. If in your home you did a similar thing that we did in our home, we went around the table and shared thanks and praise. And it was a blessing to hear how God had used different things in different people's lives this past year to praise and honor to the glory of God. And how people were helped and people were encouraged. Last Sunday we took an opportunity in the Sunday school hour to have a praise breakfast. And there were testimonies, just one after another. My heart was blessed. You know, sometimes you have a testimony service and one gives a testimony, then another gives a testimony, and then another gives a testimony. Boy, that last Sunday morning, one right after another, and one right after another. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that the Lord's working in our lives. You know, and praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for you. The church is not a building. The church is not an organization. The church is not a sign. The church is not architecture. The church is the people. Amen. And when the people of God gather together, that's the church. Amen. Praise the Lord for you. And praise the Lord for the opportunity to worship and serve the Lord together here at Hillsdale Baptist Church. It's a Thanksgiving season. And in this season, it's right that we give thanks. It's right that we give praise. It's right that we look to the Lord and be thankful for what He's done. But praises continue. And we, as God gives us length, as God gives us more days, as God gives us more weeks, as God gives us more months and years, we can look forward to being able to praise God as well. We have so much to be thankful for, especially when we know Christ is Savior. Praise the Lord for salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord for His salvation. God is still upon His throne. Amen. And we can thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord for fellowship together as believers. That's part of our worship. You know, thank the Lord for the ministries that are here. As Pastor Peterman mentioned, you need a ticket for the Christmas programs here in a couple of weeks because there's so many kids in the school and there's so many parents that want to come. It looks like we're going to overfill this building to overflowing in the Christmas program with Hillsdale Christian Academy. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord for its administrators. Praise the Lord for the staff. Praise the Lord for the people that help. Praise the Lord for the helpers. And then we praise the Lord for the people in ministry here at Hillsdale Baptist Church. You know, praise the Lord for the Sunday school teachers. Praise the Lord for the tech workers. And praise the Lord for the folks that help us be able to do the live broadcasts. And praise the Lord for the people that help with the cleaning. And while I'm right there, after the service today, there's some folks that are gathering together to do the Christmas decoration of the church. What's the biggest area of need? The stuff is on the third floor. And going through 397, no, it's not that many. Going through that many steps, I can't do that anymore and still carry something. And so if we could be sure to have some of you younger folks right after the service, meet the folks, Leanne Privet and Denise Fitzgerald, they'll be helping to direct traffic. One of the big needs is getting stuff out of storage and down here, and then folks will be decorating, okay? And, you know, praise the Lord for the opportunity for all the folks to just do something. And we're thankful for the trustees doing a lot of work around the church. Thank the Lord for the deacons and their work in the ministry. And thank the Lord for each and every one that has a part in the ministry here. And, you know, praise the Lord, you probably don't even know it much, but we now have a set of handbells. Amen. I mean, a full 3-octave set and complete with hand chimes. There's already folks that are practicing. You're going to hear Hillsdale Baptist Church handbell choir. Amen, Brother Steve? Amen. And I'm looking forward to that. And I think that's a special opportunity. We're thankful for the Lord's given us that opportunity to have the handbells and have them here. We're thankful. And you know, at the same time we give the Lord thanks, every one of us has individual praises that we thank the Lord for. And then, you know, because it's life, guess what? In the midst of all the praises, there's still the needs. There's still the prayer requests. And some of us face challenges. Some of us face bigger challenges. And some face even more challenges than that. I'm reminded of the prayer request today for one who has cancer. And a serious stage of cancer and needs the Lord's healing and help. And there, each one of us has needs and issues and discouragements. We might even call them adversity. And each one of us experiences challenges in our life. Why is it that praise is set in the context so frequently in these Psalms of challenges and issues and adversities and setbacks? And we see from the life of David that you can still praise the Lord in spite of the adversities. You know, sometimes in life it's easier to see the challenges than it is to see the blessing. Now, some are almost hardwired that if you hold up a glass, they will notice that it's half empty. Some, if you hold up a glass, will automatically notice it's half full. Well, let me talk to a moment for those that notice that it's half empty. If you're not careful, you're gonna focus on the issues of life and how things are not going according to your plan. Let me remind you right at the front here. God does not work on your schedule. God does not work on your schedule. Now, sometimes He works on His schedule and it's way ahead of you. I didn't even know that I needed it, and God gave it. And other times you pray and pray and pray and ask God, and the answer you get is wait, or the answer you get comes later than you expected. And every now and then there's the answer that comes that's, no, not this time. No, we're not going to do that. God does not work on my schedule. There's lots of different illustrations of that. And without trying to heighten adversities, did you notice if you were here during the Sunday school hour a week ago that almost every single one of the testimonies related to health issues in one way or another? That was true for me. I went through COVID. I was 2 weeks in the hospital. I was had the little oxygen tube on my nose for some weeks following that. And I understand that health issues are certainly there. But there are those who have health issues that they do not recover from quickly, or they do not recover from fully, and it becomes a fact of life. Some, because of COVID and other things, have lost loved ones. Some have faced the discouragements of isolation and loneliness. Some have faced the frustrations of the mandates of various types. And so, in some cases, the adversities people face just don't seem to have an end. It's just, that's the way it's gonna be. That's the way it is. And then for others, there's even consequences of sin. Sin does pay wages. And it's not just eternal wages, but sometimes in this life, there's consequences for sin. We see so many of those these kinds of things illustrated in the life of David. When David was young, he was disrespected by his family. He was the youngest of several boys. And when he goes to on an errand from his dad to take food to his brothers on the battlefield across from which stood Goliath, his brothers laughed and mocked because he was the youngest and he was a shepherd. He was not a soldier. When David was crowned king, Saul, the first king of Israel, was jealous and pursued David and attempted to kill him. David, when he became king, became quite prosperous, and he wanted to build the temple for the glory of God. But God said, no, no, your son will build it. You're a man of war, and your son will be the one to build the temple. Then David, we find, sinned grievously. David was guilty of murder. David was guilty of adultery. And the consequences of his sin he would pay for the rest of his life. There was family issues, serious family problems. There was disloyalty amongst his advisors. There was disloyalty and rebellion from his own son. His own son rose up against him, and David had to flee from his presence and fought an actual war or battle against his son and his forces until his son was slain. David knew a lot of different adversities. But in the midst of these things, we see this kind of psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. David still praised God. That encourages us that regardless of what our adversities are or trials are, we can still praise the Lord. And we can still recognize that even in the midst of challenges and difficulties and adversities, we can learn how to praise God. We're going to see five things here from this text and from David on how to deal with adversity, how to still praise the Lord in the midst of the challenges of life. The first one. Now, if you even get one of these and get them real good, you're going to come away with a blessing. But I'm going to give you five, so that you can multiply that blessing by as many as five times. How can you praise the Lord in the midst of adversity? The first one is Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Man, it's hard to be patient. What we want to do is say, Lord, you divided the Red Sea and let the children cross over on dry land. So I'm standing here now with my hands raised to you. Divide my adversity and let me walk through right now. We reflect on the children of Israel standing across the banks of the Jordan, looking across to the promised land and saying, God, you promised us the land. Now help us get there. And the river parted and they walked on dry land into the promised land. And we say to God, if you could do that to them, then you can do that for me now. Now remember, it took 40 years for the people to stand on the riverbank for God to divide the river. It took 400 years of the children of Israel being in Egypt. And we tend to read the 10 plagues in Egypt as having kind of happened all at once. It probably happened over a course of 2 to 3 or more years before Pharaoh said, "You get out of here," and he let the people go. Yes, we want to see an end to the adversity, but the scripture says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean sit back in your lazy boy and lounge. It doesn't mean start blaming God and others for the situation you're in. It doesn't mean sit there and get angry and get discouraged and disappointed or even turn away from God. It means keep looking to the Lord. Keep looking to the Lord. The end of your adversity is not the only goal. In other words, when God is answering prayer, God may be answering prayer in the midst of your adversity as you approach the goal of the end of the adversity. Or in some cases, there will not be an end to the adversity, but it'll be grace in the midst of that adversity. The end is in God's hand. God is still bigger than the problem. If God created the heavens and the earth, and the scripture says that God created every living thing, that means that God is still the creator, and God is still in charge. Yeah. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we are not in the tribulation. The scripture is clear that before the tribulation comes, the believers will be taken out. God is still in charge. Well, I'm frustrated with what's going on in Washington. Then stop looking at Washington and start looking at God. God is still bigger than the problem. Some trials are short. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you hear this pump, 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 pump. It's either one of two things. It's either Pastor Peterman sitting in the passenger car making you think you got a flat tire. Or you got a flat tire. It's one of two things. And if you got a flat tire, what do? You stop the car. You find a level, as level spot as you can. You put the blocks in the tire. You go to the trunk. Oh, man, I just got a new car and I haven't even read the manual. Where in the world is the spare tire? I mean, whatever you need to do, you do to get the car out. Or you just get out your wallet and call AAA. And you just have them come and they fix the car. It's done. It's inconvenient. It may have cost you some money along the way, but the trial was over. It's done. Some things are short, but some things are not short. Some people are caring for a mom and a dad. That's a wonderful thing to do. It's a blessed thing to do. But that care for mom and dad can be a long time. And in some cases, caring for mom and dad can include the heartbreak of dementia or Alzheimer's. Mom and dad may not even recognize who you are anymore. And all the shared memories are gone. But out of love for your parents, you continue to care for them. Some adversities last a long time. Remember, keep on waiting for the Lord. That brings up the second thing, and that is have the expectation that God can do anything but fail. Keep looking to God. What do you expect? Well, of course, what do you think I expect? I'm a half-glass-is-half-empty kind of person. So what I expect is doom and gloom. What I expect is failure. What I expect is the worst possible thing. What I expect is that this is just going to be terrible. Listen, if you're going to think that way, guess what's going to happen? You're not looking to God if you expect the worst. Start looking to God. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. As the scripture said, rest in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. And then that common and encouraging and motivating verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is your expectation? Oh, preacher, I'm weary. Oh, preacher, I'm about to faint. Oh, preacher, I'm in over my head. I'm about to be overcome by the storms of life. I'm about to be overwhelmed by the adversity. Then start looking to God. Yes, there is that which wearies. Yes, there is that which can overwhelm. Yes, there is that which is a challenge. But keep looking to God. What's your expectation? Expect God to give you strength right where you are. Right where you are. The Apostle Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but he said it was interfering with his ministry. He said, I besought the Lord three times to take away that thorn of the flesh. And God's answer was, no, it needs to stay. You need the thorn in the flesh, lest you think it's you that's doing the job. And the thorn in the flesh is there to remind you that it's God doing the job. You see, sometimes God's answer is no. Or sometimes God's answer is wait. Or sometimes God's answer is, I'll give you the strength to keep on going. Just keep on going. Many times our disappointment with God relates to His time schedule. Well, folks, we need to get on God's time schedule and commit every day to serving God. That means we need to serve God now. Be patient. Keep trusting. And expect God to be God. That's number one. Wait. Here's number two. Now again, if you get even one point, this is going to be a big help. If you get more than one, it can be a huge help. Here's the second one. Sing. Psalm 40 and verse number 30. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Till the storm passes over and the God can use songs in your life to encourage you. Well, I can't sing. Then here's a verse for you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks. You can make a joyful noise. Keep singing. Keep making a joyful noise. The other thing is about that is surround yourself with uplifting music. Now, uplifting music. Someone recently gave me some CDs of Mike Strock on the trumpet. I'm a trumpet player. Started playing trumpet in the fourth grade. And I don't play trumpet much now, but I've been a trumpet player in the past. And I love that. Just good, beautiful hymns. I love Ben Averson. He's got a unique style of a cappella music and different arrangements of different things. And I have a number of his albums and made up a playlist of his music. I listen to KNVBC. That's a North Valley Baptist Church in San Jose, California. And they've got just some good old evangelistic preaching and good old evangelistic music. There's Rejoice Radio, either the vocals or the instrumental. There are other things. The issue is not on certain style per se. The issue is it talking about the Lord? Is it directing your heart to serve God? Is it encouraging you? Is it inspiring you? Is it motivating you? Keep singing. Tone down or turn off the social media. Where in the Bible does it say the way to serve the Lord is to just talk among yourselves? When you talk among yourselves, what does it usually come out as? Complaining and gossip and just making stuff up. And a lot of social media is exactly that. Turn it down. Or turn it off. Don't be a discourager. Don't be a gossip. Don't be someone that's talking to everybody about, did you know the latest thing? Did you hear about? Oh, but folks, I'm sharing with you a prayer request. Oh, yeah, right. Don't disguise. Gossip is a prayer request. Sing. And sing to the Lord a new song. That's number two. Now, again, if we even get one point, this could make a big difference. But here's point number three. Trust in God. Verse number four. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Trust is the Old Testament word used over 162 times that's usually in the New Testament referred to as faith. Related concepts. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him and He shall establish your way. So then how do I get trust? How do I get faith? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read God's word. Well, I'm really having a trouble with trusting God. Then increase or change your program of reading God's word. Have a regular time. Keep a journal. Pastor does a daily devotional where he's going through in chronological order over the course of 2 years. And he's currently in a Second Chronicles, Second Kings area. First Kings, dedication of Solomon's temple, where he currently is. Some have asked me about the devotionals lately. He often does the video one as well. Sometimes when he's away, like he is now, that they're not exactly on the day. But he'll catch up. They'll be there if you keep looking. Keep a journal. Look for God in the text. Look for God in the text. Look for what God is. Look for what God does. Look for the promises in the Word of God. Claim the promises from the Word of God. And then here's one I think we overlook. Look for things that you need to change and you need to get right in your life. Well, are you a perfect preacher? Of course I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? And you would say, well, no, preacher, I'm not. And you might add on to that, as I would add on to that. I'm a sinner. Well, how often do you sin? Well, I don't want to sin. I don't like sinning. But how often is, well, I sin pretty regular. Well, what does the Bible say? We need to confess our sin. Well, wait. Confess my sin. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. But you mean I got to confess it? When the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, draws something to your attention, you need to put that in your journal and say, right there is something that I need to confess. I need to get that right with God. Well, you only have to do that with the really major things. You know, I mean like murder or something like that. No. Do you realize that all sin is sinful before God? When you tell a lie, that sin. And as far as it being a sin, it is a sin. So when you know you've told a lie, then get it right with God. Get it right with God. Read God's Word. God talks to you. Then you talk to God. Pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one verse amongst many others. Pray without ceasing. Have a prayer list. Be sure to include the confession of sin that we talked about just as a moment here. Yes, you can look through sample prayers from the Word of God and find instruction on how to praise the Lord in prayer and how to be thankful in prayer and those kinds of things. We find a sample prayer in what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But it doesn't help if you don't pray. We got to quit talking about prayer and begin to pray. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to sing a new song. We need to trust God. And if you even get one point, it would make a big difference in your life. But here's point number four. Think about God. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wondrous works which thou hast done, and my thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Verse number 10, I have not hid thy righteousness with my own heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Think about God. If you don't think about God, you won't thank Him. If you're thinking about everything else, then that's where your focus is going to be. See God in His Word. I mentioned a regular time. I mentioned keeping a journal. And then as you're looking through Scripture, you'll find, especially in the book of Psalms, that God is talked about a lot. I've challenged my Wednesday class and previous classes to go through as you're keeping your journal and look. Psalm 2, the Most High God. Psalm 16, Lord, the Master. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 43, God, my exceeding joy. And Psalm 54, God is my helper, is just a brief sample of some of the things that can be gleaned from the pages of Scripture. You don't need to be a scholar. You don't need to have to know Hebrew. You don't need to have a lot of commentaries. You can just read it there and God will show you the truth. And it's your biography of God at work in your life. See God in the Word, but then see God in your life. The Scripture says in Ezekiel that the God who is there, I'm laying in my bed in the hospital with COVID. And God was there. Now, when you have something that's as clear and direct to you as that, then the issue of is there a God and is God powerful has a clear and evident and personal reaction. Yes, He is, and I've seen it. Think about God. Here's number five. Now, I know right now some of you are saying, this is the last point? Yes, it is. But how many times have you heard the last point be the longest one that's given? I'm calling it, seek the will of God. Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Well, how do I know what God's will is? Now, hang on, put on your seatbelt here. I don't know all of God's will for you or I, but I know number one. Here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now notice, 5:17 said, pray without ceasing. The very next verse said, in every thing, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right here, right now, today, you need to give thanks. Do I need to give thanks for COVID? Yes, you need to give thanks for COVID. Do I need to give thanks for family issues? Yes, you need to give thanks for family issues. But you don't understand. We're talking about divorce here. And you don't understand. Is the Bible true? Yes, it's true. What does the Bible say? In everything, give thanks. Well, that's not a good thing. I didn't say it was a good thing. But the Scripture says right here, you're to give thanks. Give thanks. Now, this is tough. This is hard. Does that mean give thanks for cancer? Yeah, it means give thanks for cancer. Does it mean give thanks for the loss of a spouse? Yes, it means give thanks. Doesn't mean that it's a good thing. Doesn't mean that it's a pleasant thing. Doesn't mean it's an easy thing. But it says, the Scripture says to give thanks. You mean I'm supposed to give thanks when I have a financial setback? You mean I'm supposed to give thanks in the midst of bankruptcy? The Scripture says in everything. It doesn't say in some things. It doesn't say in everything in a general way. It says in every single thing. Well, preacher, you didn't name my issue, so I don't have to give thanks for that. I didn't mention it, but God did. In everything, give thanks. Oh man, that is really tough. Listen, if you don't give thanks right in the middle of where you are, you're not going to focus on God. How can you expect God to work if you're not recognizing you're there and God knows you're there and you're thanking Him for being there? You know, it's hard to get bitter, it's hard to get angry, and it's hard to blame God and others when I thank God in the midst of the adversity for the adversity. Well, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. All right, listen. You take the Bible, you open to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and you get alone with God and you lay it open in front of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I don't agree with this. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you in everything. Give thanks. You see, God wants to give you wisdom and strength for today. Well, I don't know if I can make it. All right. Then pray for wisdom and strength for this morning. There's only 21 minutes left in it. And yes, I'm on my last point. I'm not sure I can make it, preacher. Then pray and ask God for wisdom and strength for this next hour. The wisdom and strength to take the next step. And let God be God to give you wisdom and strength for the step after that. Well, I don't know where this leads. I don't either. But the Scripture says that God's on the throne. The Scripture says wait patiently. The Scripture says sing a new song. The Scripture says trust Him. And the Scripture says thanks. With all those things in mind, you can praise God today. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You ever heard about your second wind in athletics? Just about the time you don't think you can take another step, all of a sudden, oh, I think I can do this. And you get your second wind. Now, for me, that's only about 6 steps away. But for experienced athletes, it can be at mile, what do they say, 17 of a marathon, and they get their second wind. You see, but that's depending on human strength. This is talking about God's strength. Does the Holy Spirit ever run out of strength? Does God ever run out of strength? They shall mount up as wings as eagles. Do you realize how big those birds are? I mean, those eagles are huge. I don't have the strength to mount up with wings as eagles. I know you don't. But God does. And God can give you the strength. If you will wait, if you will sing, if you will trust, if you will think about God and you'll thank Him, God can give you the strength. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, He hath brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. There's a big contrast here. There's the horrible pit and the miry clay as contrasted with the rock. The rock in Scripture is often symbolic of Jesus Christ. And the horrible pit and the miry clay can be referred to in Scripture as sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil. In Scripture, it is clear that Jesus has provided a way of salvation for everyone. And everyone's problem is for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you trust Jesus as your only Savior, and you ask Him to save you from your sin, which separates between you and God, it's not by works of righteousness, which we do, but according to His mercy, He saves us, and He can set our feet on the rock of salvation. And the Scripture says, and established my going. Salvation is not just a once for all. Yes, you're saved once and for all, but the same working of God in your life can be seen in an ongoing way. He can lift your feet out of the miry pit, and the miry clay, the horrible pit, and establish you on the rock. Are you facing adversity and problems and issues and challenges in your life? Are some of them ongoing? Are some of them seemingly to be just no resolution? I'm telling you on the authority of God's Word that you can have the wisdom and the strength you need for today. And if you'll take God at His Word today and every day, God will show you Himself in the midst of that adversity. And where it's God's timing through the end of that adversity. Today, you and I can praise God in spite of the trials or adversities we may face.